Well, today, as our kids are heading out for children's church, I was reminded, not that I had forgotten, but my daughter, as y'all know, most of you know, likes to sit with me up here on the front before I come up to speak, and she brought me this. And you're going, what is that? This is a Hershey bar, but it's wrapped up with a superhero named Dad. Now, is that great or what, huh? And the scripture on the back says, the righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And so I suspect after a while I'll have to split this with her is probably how the deal works. But anyway, today's Father's Day. And if you're a father and you're here today, we want to say a word of blessing over you as we begin into the message. And so if you're a dad, just let your loved ones around you kind of reach over and grab you on the hand or the shoulder or knock you in the head or whatever you know they need to do right now. And we're going to pray for you guys this morning. Father God, we just thank you so much for dads. And Father, the blessing that they are. Father, we're aware that some in this room don't have their dads any longer on this earth. And so, Father, we thank you, though, for the influence they were. We pray for comfort in those who have lost their parent. And Father, we also thank you for these men sitting here today that are our fathers. And we want to honor them and bless them, Father, with your grace and your mercy. And Father, our prayer is that you continue to bless them as they lead, as they serve that vital role of being father and dad to their families, to their grandchildren, even as grandfathers. And we just praise you, God, for the blessing that they are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to invite you to go ahead and start hunting for Hosea, because that's one of those books that you're going, I didn't know that was in the Bible. We don't read Hosea very often, but I want to invite you to find it. It's in the Old Testament, toward the back, in the Minor Prophets, and we'll get there in just a little bit. But the story is told of a dad, a man, who received a call one night about 10 o'clock at night. Some of you were the one who called Dad at 10 o'clock with this phone call, and some of you as dads have received this phone call at 10 o'clock at night. And the words on the phone said this, Dad, we want to stay out late. Is that okay? The dad answered, sure, as long as you've called and I know where you are, we're good. And now when he hung up, his wife asked him, who was on the phone, honey? He said, one of our boys. And I gave them permission to stay out late if they'd like to. And the wife said, not our boys. They're both in their rooms. Yeah, Dad, sometimes we do things that are a little different. But anyway, we stand here on Father's Day, a day that we set aside to honor fathers. Now, it gets kind of second billing to Mother's Day. And guys, we get that, and we're okay with that. But I want you to know we live in a culture that in a lot of ways seems to denigrate fatherhood and denigrate men in general. And I want to talk about that this morning from a really interesting, little different perspective. Maybe this lack of respect for dads is justified because men don't necessarily always step up and lead their families well. Or maybe it's an attack on men in general just to make them look foolish. I'm not sure exactly. Maybe it's some of both. But whatever the reason, we live in a day when men are often reduced in importance. But I want you to know that is not God's plan. That was never God's intention for men and dads. Now, they're not supposed to be cruel overlords to their families, nor are they supposed to be pushovers that never do anything, but there's a balance in there. God's design is for men to lead their families to godliness, to lead their families with integrity. And so that's what I want to talk about today, and you're going, Hosea. I know a little bit about the story of Hosea, and I don't know how you're going to get a Father's Day message out of there. Well, we'll do our best. That's all I can ever do, right? Here's what I want you to hear. Hosea was an interesting guy. He was probably not a priest in the sense of leading the temple. They didn't have the temple. He was a prophet in the northern 10 tribes, the tribes that were gathered together called Israel. And if you know anything about them, this was a group of tribes that chose to walk away from the temple and the commitment of God and create their own nation. And because they created their own nation, they started creating their own forms of worship. And out of those forms of worship came utter pagan activities and actions. So that nation was really a mess. And Hosea is called to speak into this nation about the relationship between God and his people. And I want you to this morning help me by looking at the story of Hosea from that perspective, but also as the story of a masculine love story. Now, this is something that I think we lack in our culture. And what he's going to do through these stories is to show us what godly manhood looks like. And he illustrates them through the choices that Hosea makes. So we're going to focus more on Hosea instead of his wife with that great name, Gomer. I mean, you know, some of you are older than me. You think Gomer. Pile, of course. That's a guy. This is a girl. So I want to invite you to take your Bible, turn to Hosea chapter 1, and we're going to look at four vignettes or little stories, snippets from the story to kind of get a picture of what we're talking about this morning. The first one is right there in chapter 1, verse 2, where Hosea reflects God's great love. Look at the verse with me. When the Lord first spoke to Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take for yourself, to yourself, a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." Yes, that's three times in that one verse, that word's there. You're thinking, oh my goodness, did God really ask him to do this? And yes, I understand you're going, this is a weird story for a Father's Day. Hang in there with me. When the story opens, what we find is God calls Hosea to do something so strange, so foreign, so, let's just say it, weird. We look at it and go, that can't be a real story. Surely that's one of those made-up allegories that God used in the Old Testament to make a point. You know, this story is so interesting that scholars over the centuries have come up with no less than 8 different distinct ways to interpret this book. It's one of the few books that have got so many different ways to look at it. But I suspect that the easiest way to look at this story is just to look at the story as it is. Look at it on the surface. God calls a man of Israel who fears God to go and take for himself a wife who is less than moral. And you're going, is that your point today, Patrick? Go find an immoral wife to marry? That's not the point today, so don't go there. I have to admit, if I was Hosea and I had heard this commandment from God, I would have looked at God and said, no way. I don't want to do that. Y'all with me? I don't want that. But God was up to something bigger than the marriage of Hosea to Gomer. What he's trying to illustrate is this deep, great love that God has for his people. Hosea is sent to marry Gomer, not because she's a model citizen, not because she's a model woman, by the way, but he's doing it to illustrate God's bigger plan. His actions are going to reflect the great love that God has for his people. And what his point in this part of the story is this, is the people of their day, and I think in our day as well, need to grasp the idea that God has a bigger purpose and a bigger plan for us than what we can sometimes see. And even when we don't understand what God is up to, he's still in charge. Now, if you look at the rest of chapter 1, which we're not going to do this morning, but I want to give you a quick review, Hosea and Gomer have 3 kids. By the way, their kids' names got ever increasingly strange as they went. If you read chapter 1, maybe this afternoon on your own, you'll go, oh my goodness, weird names. But God's call is to illustrate a love for people that is greater than we can find in ourselves. Now, this is a call we're going to come back to in a few minutes when we try to apply it. But the idea here is that God calls us. As he calls us, especially us as men, guys, to reflect God's love, to show God's love to those around us, to our wives, to our children, to our grandchildren, if we happen to have those, our great-grandchildren, if those are in the picture. And God's heart is for people to experience his love in a way that Gomer experienced God's love from her husband. Well, if the story stopped there, it would be weird enough, but it goes on. Look at chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. What God does here is, through Hosea, is he calls him to reveal tough love. Tough love. You know what tough love is, don't you? It's when you've done something that you're not supposed to, and your parent says, give me the keys to the car. Or says, allowance? What allowance? Y'all with me? tough love. Look at what happens in chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Hosea speaks to his kids about speaking to their mother. By this point in the story, Hosea and Gomer have split because Gomer has walked away from the relationship. So look at verse 2. Plead with your mother. Plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness and make her like a parched land and kill her with thirst. Now here in this second vignette, imagine with me, you are a child, one of the three kids of this couple, and your dad comes to you and says, would you go and speak to your mother? Because she's not my wife any longer. She's not a relationship. I don't have a connection with her, but you do. Go and speak to her and let her know something very real. In fact, the word that's translated in the ESV is plead. It's probably not strong enough. Pleading is like saying, hey, Harold, I would really, really like for you to sing a special next weekend. Go ahead and do that if you'd like to. But I'm just saying that's a plea. This is bigger than that. This is more like a renunciation to say, you are not with me. You're not part of who I am. And so this thought casts our action here in a different idea. And it's not just saying, hey, it'd be really good if you would do this. And really what he's saying is, it'd be really good if you'd stop doing what you're doing because it's not good for you. That, my friends, is where Hosea reveals tough love. He steps in through this relationship that he has and says, you've gone off to other lovers, you've gone off to other things, and you've put yourself in a mess. And if you're not careful, you're going to end up living that way the rest of your life. You're going to find yourself in a parched land. You're going to be dying from thirst. You're going to miss out on the great things. What God is doing here is using an illustration of a relationship about the faithlessness of the people called Israel. And her actions show her depravity. Her actions show her absolute filth in life. And her choices are not ones that Hosea wants his kids to emulate. He says, do not be like mama. Can you imagine speaking to your children and saying, don't live like your mother? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? That's tough love. He says there's a better plan. Instead, what he does is what we might call her out. He says, you're doing the wrong things. You're going down a wrong path. You need to stop. And his love for her is so great, he's unwilling to let her stay in the choices she's made. But he calls her to a better way. He says, there's something better than what you've got. So Hosea reveals this great love. He reveals a tough love. Look at chapter 2, verse 14, where we find this. Hosea recognized God-given potential. We're going to bring all this together in a few minutes with a couple of thoughts to wrap it together and kind of put a pretty manly bow on it. You know what I mean? Okay, guys? But stay with me for the story. Here's what Hosea says. Here's from God. Therefore, behold, I will allure her. Now, wait, stop. Stop. Wait. Where is Gomer at this point in the story? She has left her husband, who has produced three children together, by the way. She has walked away and gone back to a life of what? Adultery and filthiness. I don't know about you, I would look at that situation and go, she's beyond hope. She's a mess. Let's move on. Look what he says here. Behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness, and look at this, and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she will answer us in the days of her youth. And at that time, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. Now notice the emotion here and the feeling here, because it's important that we catch this, to grasp this story. The tenderness of this moment. He says, I will allure her. I will speak tenderly to her. I will give her a door of hope. That phrase Valley of Achor means nothing to us because we didn't live through the times, but it's speaking to the time when they came out of captivity through the 40 years of wilderness and they came into the promised land and they had a kind of a trouble and a mess that God brought something good out of. He says, I'm going to bring something good out of this mess you found yourself. And what's going on here is an amazing level of grace, amazing level of forgiveness, an amazing level of faith here. And what Hosea has been told by God is to do this: marry a woman who was not faithful to start with, to have children with her, and to return for her now, because there's still potential with her, even in the midst of this ugliness. Does that strike you as odd? It does me. I'm thinking, why would I do that if I were Hosea? I might say this: well, just let her rot in her filth. She's made her choice. Let her go live it. As we might say, she made her bed. Let her what? Lie in it. There's a lot of visual there that's ugly. Y'all with me? But not Hosea. Not a godly man. He says, I see her situation. Now, Hosea does not approve of her actions. Don't see him doing that. He's not saying, this is good. I'm glad you've gone to do this. Now you can come back. You got it out of your system. We'll be able to go on together. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying to her is this: you, because of the value of God, have innate potential and worth that I see in you. And I want you to come back. I want you to be with me. He's living out a holy calling from God to be the man she needs to bring her to a better life. This is so foreign to the depiction of men in our culture today, isn't it? That we kind of go, wow, I don't get this. You know, we would be tempted to say, she's got the mess. We might even be tempted to say, well, Hosea's already redeemed her out of this mess once. Now he's going to do it again? Yeah, why? Because she has God-given potential that God wants to bring out. You remember the words of Jesus when he spoke about forgiveness, don't you? We're supposed to forgive once, and then what? Be done. Is that what he said? Jesus says we're supposed to what? Forgive 70 times 7. To forgive again and again and again. Men, that's a call for us, isn't it? To be men who forgive. And recognize the potential that those around us have. So now, we're at this point. He sees potential in her. What are we going to do with it? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Because Hosea repeated God's great love. Look what he does. God speaks again. Word of God speak. We sang that. Let God's word speak to us. Let God speak to us. And the Lord said to me, cut her loose. That's what I want to read here. Done with you. No, look what it says. Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisin. Now, what we see here, and I suspect here, if I were to have to pin down one passage in the Minor Prophets that is probably the most beautiful one out there, it's right here. And here's why. Because it really is a reflection of our lives, isn't it? The mess that we were in before we knew God, and sometimes, let's just be honest, the mess that we're in after we commit to Christ, that he still comes after us and loves us, even though we've allowed ourselves to be loved by others. That's the call, guys, men, that he's called. I want to call you to this morning. Remember, this picture is an amazing one of the God of creation, of the people whom he created for himself, yet who walk away from him. Now, Hosea gets to go and do the big, tough job to love her with God's love. What Hosea is doing here is modeling the love of God not only in Hosea's life, but also for his wife, for Gomer, for his children, for the people around him. And what they look at him, and some of you would say, well, I bet the neighbors thought he was crazy for going and getting her. But the Lord said, go get her. Go love her. Go bring her home. And go and forgive her. There's a truth that's applicable here to all generations, where men, we're expected to lead in areas of sensitivity to the leading of God, to be men who lead with a willingness to forgive, to be men who lead with a path of compassion, not of weakness and not of condoning the action, but of love. Three thoughts I want you to see real fast. Number one, godly men listen to God. When you look at Hosea's story, the thing that really strikes me about his story is this weird, weird story is this, is that he chose to listen to who? To himself, to his neighbors, to his peers, to his family? No, he chose to listen to who? To God. That may seem kind of simplistic to say, well, you know, if we're going to be godly, we ought to listen to God. Yeah, duh, it would, but I would say, of course we are. We could descend into a conversation in this text about the unfaithfulness of Israel and the coming judgment they face, which they did. I'm pretty certain one of the amazing things about this story, though, is the willingness of Hosea to listen to God. Guys, whether it's marrying Gomer in the first place, or being willing to redeem her after the bad choices she makes, God is the one who's depicted in the story as leading the action. He says, Hosea, this is what I have for you. Go do it. And godly men listen to God. That's one of the essential characteristics of godly men. We listen to God. For what we understand is the essential truth is while our own thoughts may be sound, our own desires may be okay, they pale in comparison to the leading of holy God. So we're here on Father's Day. That's the challenge. Those of us who profess to follow God, are we actually following God? Are we actually listening to the voice of God? Are we really moving forward only as God is leading us? What our world needs now is men who are willing to crucify their flesh and let the Spirit of God lead. To listen to God, to do the right things for their families, to bless their homes by listening to God first. You know, back in the old days, way before our time, we didn't have refrigeration in our country or really anywhere in the world. And if you wanted ice, there was one way you would get it. They would find rivers and lakes in the winter. They would cut ice out of those. They would take them to ice houses. Have you ever seen one of those old ice houses cut back into a hill somewhere? And what they would do with those ice, that blocks of ice, they'd put them in there, and they would cover them with sawdust, if you're familiar with the story. And the sawdust would help preserve the ice at least partway through the summertime, so you'd have some ice for those kind of things. Well, the story was told of a guy who worked in an ice house, and he lost a valuable watch. He lost his watch in there. And he searched for it, going through the sawdust, looking for this watch, trying to find this. Some of his friends got in there and tried to help him find it. They started moving sawdust aside, moving it around, trying to get it so they could find this valuable watch. And one day during their lunch break, a small boy came out of the ice house with the news, "I have your watch." And they looked at the little boy and says, how did you find that watch? We've been looking for it. He said, "I went into the ice house. I closed the door. I got down close to the ground and I listened for the ticking of the watch." Fellas, that is an illustration to help us understand how we can listen to God. We're going to have to get aside with God in quiet places to shut out the noise of the world so we can hear the still small voice of holy God speaking in our lives. I think one of the keys of being a man who listens to God is figuring out how to disconnect from the noise of the world so we can hear from the King. Godly men listen to God. Number two, godly men choose forgiveness. This is something from the story that is striking. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple weeks ago about this message. As you know, I went to youth camp, student camp this week, and hung out with the kids. So I had to write this message like 2 weeks ago. So I've been working on this sermon for like a couple of weeks. And some of you are thinking, we wish you'd work on your sermons a little longer. That might be better. But anyway, that's another story. But I was having a conversation with a friend of mine about this story because I was trying to figure out how to wrap my brain around this story for Father's Day, because I had really sensed when I was in my planning retreat last year, this is the text for today. And I was sharing this story with my friend and telling him the story. And when I got to the point about Hosea going after Gomer, after she had left and the things she was in, and to go and to bring her back, my friend interrupted me and says, "Stop! That's nuts! There's no way I'd do that." You know what? I can relate. I would think, no way would I do this. No way could I forgive. There was a couple I knew a few years ago who, his wife, did a Gomer. She took off and went with another man. And I came into the picture to try to help put that marriage back together as a woefully inadequate pastoral counselor. Let me tell you, that's a tough conversation to have. See, normally it's the guy who runs around, not the girl, right? Well, this was the girl who'd done some things. And we sat in my office week after week, sometimes for hours, talking about these things and having conversations about these things and praying for these things. And I want you to know, most men would say, we're done. But this husband chose forgiveness. Hosea chose forgiveness. That's the call, guys, that God has for us, is to be people who desire intimacy and fellowship with God to the place that God's love begins to not only fill us, but overflow from us, so that God's forgiveness is able to be shared with those around us. Friends, I want you to know, godly forgiveness is not easy. But this is the model that I want you to see. Godly men, we choose to love our wives. Godly men, we choose to love our families. Godly men choose to be people who let forgiveness flow out of us because we've been forgiven. One more thought I want you to see. Godly men listen to God. Godly men choose forgiveness, but godly men also model compassion. In every generation, whether you're talking about Julius Caesar or Billy the Kid, the model of men is that we're supposed to be the tough guy. The guy who stands strong, doesn't let anybody push us over, don't let anybody get the best of us. But what if the real model of godly men is men who carry themselves with so much godly strength that we reveal compassion? But so often we go through life with the wrong perspective, don't we? We look through this and we go, well, I want to be tough, I want to be strong, I don't want anybody to get the best of me, I want to stand up and defend. There's a place for that, don't misunderstand. But I want you to understand that Hosea's model is this. He had compassion. Think about poor Gomer. You're going, poor Gomer, she's the one that messed it all up. Yeah, I get that, listen. But think about Gomer. Do you know what her life was without, especially in their culture, a husband to defend her? Her choices meant that she was going to be trapped in that lifestyle the rest of her life. When Hosea came to her and said, I'm going to bring you back to me, he showed compassion for her. That's the model that God has for us. Sometimes, though, we get the wrong perspective. The story is told many years ago of two sociologists who were walking down the street. And as they come up on this man on the side of the street, they see him laying there unconscious. He's covered in cuts. He's covered in bruises. He's been mugged. He is beaten. He's abused. And they look at him, and one turns to the other, standing there looking at this man on the side of the street, and say, you know, whoever did this terrible deed really needs our help. When in reality, the immediate need was right here in front of them, not the guy who had run off. Yeah, the man who abused this guy needed help, but the immediate need's right here. Godly men understand the difference between knowing how to fix the problem and getting involved to make a difference. That's positive. You know, maybe you're here today and you say, I don't know if I could do what Hosea did. Until Christ is allowed to set up shop in your heart, until Christ is allowed to be the king of your life, you probably won't be able to live that pathway. Because let me tell you what, my friend and his wife who went through this situation for Hosea and Gomer going through this situation, the only way they got through it was with godly power and presence. You say, I don't know if I have that. You know, if you don't have Christ, you don't have this ability. So maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. Maybe you need to meet him. We want to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to have people at the front. We'd love to talk with you, guys, ladies, children, whatever. But we want you to understand that this is the way that godly men live their lives, as men filled with the presence of Christ, listening to God, choosing forgiveness, being men of compassion and care, and really want to bring the best to their families so that their kids give them super dad chocolates, you know? And they go, my daddy loves me no matter what I do, just like our Heavenly Father loves us, even when we make mistakes. Godly men live out a better life than those who don't know him. Let me ask you this, guys and others, do you know Christ? Have you met him? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And we look at this strange story of Hosea, and we think to ourselves, man, there's no way I could do that. And God, maybe that's the key that we need to grasp, is it's that we can't do it on our own, but in Christ, we can. With God's power within us, we can listen to your voice and do what you call us to do. Father, I pray for those who need to commit their lives to Christ today for the very first time. I pray for those who need to commit their lives to a local congregation. I pray for those who need to renew a relationship with you so that you could give them this kind of life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's stand together and sing this song. But more importantly, let me give you an opportunity to respond if God's leading this morning.